So it's the fourth day of this meditation retreat already. It started on the 6th of July, the 7th, 8th, and it's the 9th now. So fourth day of us coming to practice the Dhamma together. And so we listen to these Dhamma teachings and then we take them to contemplate and investigating them, finding their reasoning. And probably you've experienced some degree of understanding into the Dhamma already. Now, this Dhamma, which is that all things that are of the nature to arise are of the nature to cease. And probably experienced some degree of samadhi and some degree of wisdom as well. But it's not the case that we develop samadhi to the point where there's just stillness until we're not able to contemplate. But rather, the mind is still and it's listening and it's in a state where it's able to reflect upon what it's hearing. And therefore, an understanding into the Dhamma with clarity can arise. And so here is where wisdom and insight comes up. And so then, is that a state of jhana? Well, it's not a state of jhana, but there's a knowledge that's arising. And all it takes is this changing for wrong views into right views, into samadhiti, and just that, to have this clear insight. And there's a feeling that the mind has changed from what it was like before, that our satta, our faith, becomes even more firm, this faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. So that I take the Buddha as my refuge, the Dhamma as my refuge, the Sangha as my refuge. You chant this twice and then three times. And so having the Buddha as our refuge. This is something which we've taken up already. But when one experiences the Dhamma, this becomes even more firm, that our faith becomes very strong. And we take the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha as our highest refuge. So with practicing the Dhamma, listening to the Dhamma, that we can practice in many activities. So by our selflessness, our offering of alms food, listening as you are now, coming to chant as well. Throughout all of these activities, we're able to know and to see the Dhamma. And we can consider how with many of the Buddha's Arahant disciples before their awakening, maybe they listened to a song praising the virtues of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and they awakened while listening to that song. Or they heard a song about the nature of phenomena to arise and stay and cease. And then they brought that into their hearts, contemplated it, their minds came together, and they attained to full awakening. So the Dhamma is able to arise independent of time. So we should put in our efforts then, try to maintain our mindfulness, to keep our mindfulness good. So like, for example, if we're working in the kitchen, cooking food, if we're mindful with that, then we get two benefits from that. We get food which nourishes our body, and we also get the Dhamma which nourishes our hearts. So these two kinds of food. But if we are cooking with a mind which is restless, scattered, maybe we're anxious and worried, then all we get is food to nourish the body. So we try to do these activities with mindfulness, giving rise to a joyous heart, a heart that is in a skillful state and contented. So when offering food to the monks, when offering flowers, perhaps we offer things which are the best things, and we feel this heart of faith while we're doing that, and this is really important. Because we've been born into this world already, but doing these deeds with a heart of faith, this is a new birth, an internal birth. You see how the number of people being born into this world is increasing all the time. It's much more than it was before. And just 100 years ago, 10 years ago, there were less humans in this world than there are now. So this global population is increasing. But this is just physical humans. And their minds haven't been born anew. And so there's a lot of agitation and chaos in this world. But as we go on and our minds gain some wisdom, then we're able to see the drawbacks and then give rise to a new birth within our heart, an internal human. So one that doesn't harm one another. And when we have this new birth in our heart, then we try to devote ourselves to acts of goodness. So all kinds of skillful, meritorious deeds, we do that. And we do that even though we may wish for some results in return for that, that's okay. Don't worry about that. We carry on doing it. Perhaps we wish for beauty in the future or for a happy heavenly birth next life. But don't worry about that. You just carry on going, carry on doing it, and eventually we'll grow in wisdom as well. So by doing these good deeds, then we're creating ease for our future lives and for our present lives as well. So don't worry about this. We just carry on cultivating your barami, your spiritual virtues, and things get better, it develops. Your generosity improves, the sila, the virtue develops. And we understand that we're cultivating sila for the sake of bringing our minds to peace. And we bring our minds to peace for the sake of clear knowing arising within them. So this is a process which develops as we go along. So don't worry about this. And it's not that if you think, oh, I'm going to gain something in return for this, so I'm just not going to do it. Now, that's not right, but rather put in your effort. Faith is something that you'll have already. So now it's time to put in the effort to be sincere in your practice. Because everything that we succeed in, we're able to reach success due to our efforts. Even our perfectly self-awakened Buddha in a previous life, he was in the middle of the ocean, but he didn't lose his effort. He didn't just stop, but rather he was determined to carry on swimming until he reached the shore. He didn't think, well, it's hopeless and I'm just going to allow myself to drown. He didn't wish for that. So we need to bring up our efforts as well and to train ourselves too. And as Ajahn Chah said, that sometimes we feel tired, we feel achy, and that we don't want to do it, but we need to do it all the same. If we're lazy, we practice. If we're feeling energetic, we practice. And we shouldn't believe our thoughts. If these lazy thoughts are coming up and we just want to sleep and be at ease, then that is defilement right there. So we need to go against that, to cultivate energy and diligence. Need to do it. Go to the morning chanting, the evening chanting, steadily training ourselves until this becomes something which is just natural for us to do. So we put our efforts in while chanting, recollecting the goodness of the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. But if we're feeling sleepy and we just go off to sleep and sleep a lot, then the mind goes all over the place. And when we wake up, our samadhi is not in a firm state. So rather we maintain a good sense of control over our minds and not allowing the hindrances to hold sway over our hearts, but be cultivating samadhi until the mind reaches a state of ease and rapture. And we can reach this through chanting the praises to the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. But it's important to have effort in this. Viriyena dukkha mecheti. And so that we are able to free ourselves from suffering due to our efforts. And so for all of you lay people that you've studied until you've completed your studying and then gone off to work. So with that study, you needed to be energetic in there to succeed. And with your work, you can't afford to be lazy with that, but rather need to be putting in your effort into work. Need to be bringing up and using your mindfulness and your wisdom as well. Having this internal effort. And so it's the same with us in the practice. Having this effort to abandon all unskillful states. That when we know that they have come up, we try to abandon them. That we're aware of all the things arising within our minds. All of the skillful states, all of the unskillful states. And that these arise from the workings of ignorance in the heart. That they are what create the bad thoughts and the unskillful qualities. So we need to put in our efforts to abandon those things. But it's normal for them to come up and for them to be there. So we shouldn't be averse towards ourselves, start hating ourselves, thinking that this is no good, this is bad, I'm bad, because we'll suffer a lot if we get into that. But rather we see how this is ignorance, which is pulling the mind into concocting these thoughts. So we just know them for what they are as they're happening. And these bad thoughts, unskillful states, these are things which we just throw away. We just drop them and carry on practicing. Carry on practicing to abandon them. So we can try to bring our minds back then, to have mindfulness over a mantra, a meditation word, bringing up a skillful object. And when we bring up these skillful objects, we're both cultivating skillful qualities and we're also putting in our effort for the non-arising of unarisen, unwholesome states. And so this is that right effort to abandon unskillful states, to be putting an effort for them to not arise in the first place as well, to be cultivating skillfulness too, and trying to care for that skillfulness so that it's able to stay for a long time. And we try to bring up good thoughts in the mind, and thoughts which bring up contentment and inner happiness. So thinking about the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, bringing an ease to the heart. And so this is Buddha Nusati, Sangha, Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati. Having these good thoughts come up, recollecting the virtues of the Buddha. We can also recollect the sila, the morality, the virtue that we ourselves have kept. Recollect the devas and their qualities of Hiri and Otapa, how they have this skillful, wise, fear and shame of wrongdoing. And we can also recollect how we have put in our efforts in meditation too. We've looked after our precepts well, had a good sense of composure over acts of body and mind, bringing our hearts to states of joy and happiness. So these are all good means of recollection, and may you be intent on doing this. And you do this a lot, develop this a lot. Be aware of your mind, always following up and knowing what your mind is doing. Because those who follow up on their minds are those who will free themselves from Mara's snare. And Mara here is that which destroys goodness, is Kilesa Mara. So we need to put up a good fight with those defilements, with avicca, tanha, and upadana, this ignorance, craving, and clinging. Because these are qualities which have been in charge of our minds for a very long time. So they've been there for a long time, but we've only just realized that and only just started to fight against them. So we need to have a lot of energy in that. And sometimes it's possible for us to hold those defilements at bay, and they're not coming up for a while. But then when they're able to come up, it's like they can come up with even stronger energy than they were before, than they had before. So like anger can really come up with a lot of power to it. But you shouldn't doubt that you're on the wrong path. This is the right way. You just need to carry on with it. You need to carry on torturing these defilements. And sometimes people try to oppose the defilements through torturing their bodies, but that is not correct, because the defilements arise within our minds. So we should be composed, be aware, be cautious, knowing what our mind is doing, always watching it. So there's a comparison that was given. It's like we have a field of rice, and we need to look after that well, take care that no one comes to steal our rice. Or we have an orchard, and the fruit trees are starting to bear fruit already. So we need to look after that orchard, make sure that no one comes to steal those fruit. Try to ward off the insects from the fruit, water the trees well, give them lots of fertilizer. And under these conditions, then the fruit is able to appear and to grow. So our practice is like this. And we shouldn't doubt about it, and wondering, is this the right meditation method for me? Or maybe I should change to this one? That we just pick one up and practice. Whatever object works to give rise to peace, rapture, happiness, that is a good object for us. So use that a lot and don't doubt about it. This is a teaching that Ajahn Chah gave, and I feel like it really struck my own heart. It struck a chord within me. And why is that? It's because I myself had huge amounts of doubts, wondering, is this all right? Is it okay to be practicing like this? Is this method correct? Because I wanted fast results. And the downside of wanting fast results is that one gets very impatient and agitated in the heart. And this is even more so for people these days, that they all want things very, very quickly. And so when we want things quickly, it's the defilements that want to get results quickly. And the more we do that, then the more doubts that we have. So maybe today we recite Buddho, Dhammo, Sangho, and then After a while, that stops working. You stop becoming peaceful. So we think, oh, I'll change. And then start contemplating death. But the mind isn't peaceful with that. So then we start reciting, Kesa, Loma, Naka, Danta, Tacho. Hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin. But the mind is still agitated. And if we practice like this, then it'll just carry on being agitated. You won't be able to get into a state of peace due to the doubts that are there. It's like we have planted a tree, and then after a bit of time, we pull the tree up to see if the roots have started to grow or not. And then we put the tree back into the ground. After a bit of time, we pull it up again and check the roots. And if we do this, then the tree is just going to wither away. Or like we have planted some corn, and then we go to check on it every day to see whether the cob of corn is starting to grow yet and how big it is. Myself, when I was a child, I did this. I went out to check on the corn and seeing, is it ready to eat yet? How much has it grown? Is it okay to have it yet? And my mind was very impatient. After waiting until it was fully grown, and then took that and boiled it, and it was very sweet and delicious. So in our practice, we need effort, and we need to patiently endure as well, and try not to fall into this doubting. Whatever method works to bring the mind to peace, whatever mantra, meditation word works, then that's okay. It's all right to be doing that. Just whatever allows the mind to be thinking less. If you're thinking a lot, then be reciting these meditation words a lot. And putting in this effort for the thoughts to steadily reduce, get less and less. And then peace grows within the heart. And then when peace has grown, then samadhi will appear within us as well. This piti, rapture, sukha, happiness. And there can be great amounts of that. But then we can start doubting about that as well. Rapture can arise and we think, what is this? The mind, body feels very light. Maybe the hairs on our body stand on end. And we think, what's happening? The body can feel like it's growing very big, or we can have tears running down our cheeks. And we start to doubt about this as well. So then we go to read the texts. We find out that this is the five manifestations of piti, of rapture. So these things come up when this rapture is present. And as that rapture becomes more firm, then our samadhi becomes more stable as well. And when we come out of that state of samadhi, then there's energy within our hearts. And we can just look around us at nature and see leaves falling. And see how when a storm blows through, and then the wind pulls off the green leaves and the yellow leaves and the brown leaves. And so we take that within ourselves and contemplate that internally. And see that the lives of all beings are like this as well, that they must end, that they're not sure things, they're unstable things. And here we can see the Dhamma, see the nature of how everything which arises must cease. So when that has always been the case, why is it that we don't see it? And it's because wisdom has yet to arise within us. And the reason for that is because our samadhi is not yet stable. We don't have sufficient mindfulness. That our mindfulness is sent out of our bodies, out of our minds. So the Buddha taught for us to have our mindfulness present in our body and mind, within the four foundations of mindfulness. whether standing, walking, sitting, lying down, to be mindful, listening to the Dhamma, mindful that one is listening. If teaching the Dhamma, mindful that one is speaking. Whether eating, whether drinking, moving around, to have mindfulness over all activities. If there's restlessness within the mind, then be reciting Buddho, Dhammo, Sangho. And then when it starts getting better, then you can reduce that to just Buddho. Always be watching the mind, caring for the mind. Not allowing the mind to go into liking and disliking, but trying to maintain it in the state of samadhi. And here the mind won't be attaching to things. It's not gone off into pleasure or displeasure. And this is the path to seeing the Dhamma. So may you make your samadhi firm and stable. And this is how Venerable Ajahn Chah taught, that it's by not getting involved in liking or disliking, this is the path to seeing the Dhamma, to seeing how all physicality and mentality is anicca, dukkha, anatta, is constantly changing, is unsatisfactory and not self. It's all of the nature to deteriorate, to decay. And when we understand this, then we can see the Dhamma clearly, and no doubts are left. But this requires our effort, therefore may you put in effort, may you be really sincere on this. And so all of you, that you've come here with this intent to practice the Dhamma. So may you gain samadhi, may you gain wisdom with sila as your foundation, and may you grow in blessings.